Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Ben Arthur from the Tennessee. And Ben, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good. Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And Ben, you were out there in your old stomping grounds in Seattle. How impressive was that performance by the Titans and specifically Derrick Henry in the second half of that game?
Yeah, that was just incredible. And that environment in Seattle, I think, as we all know, can be very hostile. The Seahawks were playing in front of their home fans for the first time in 21 months. You knew how rowdy they would be, and for the Titans to come into Seattle and get a victory like that after trailing 15 points at halftime was pretty incredible. And I think it just kind of goes back to, you know, what we've known these Mike Vrabel teams to be. When, you know, we think they're kind of out when their backs are against the wall after these, you know, double digit losses, for whatever reason, whether it's the mentality makeup of this team, they're able to bounce back in games like that. And you know, we saw Derrick Henry kind of wear down this Seahawks defense as the game wore on. I think in the first half they were able to kind of maybe keep him in check a little bit. But I think with Derrick Henry, right, you kind of keep what we've seen the Mike Vrabel, what these Titans do so much is kind of use him a lot, and you know, the opposing team may be able to corral him at first in the first half, but you're confident over time that he'll start to kind of wear down the defense. And I think that's kind of exactly what we saw. Derrick, 147 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns in the second half alone, and we saw Julio come alive, and the O-line play was better, and the defense really tightened up late in the game. I think it was a really, you know, great win for this Titans team, and the type of win that could propel you through, you know, this early part of your schedule.
Okay, so blowout loss at home, not great first half at Seattle. As you just said, everything comes together in the second half. Pretty impressive win. So the Titans right now, compared to what you thought they would be going into the season, better, worse, the same?
Ooh, I think right now it's heading into the season. I think my view of the Titans at that time is probably about where it's at right now, just in terms of my what I thought the Titans would be. I always kind of thought the defense would be better in time, but there would be some bumps on the road to start, and we've obviously seen that, right? Not only in that opener, but against Seattle, where you give up 3 really back-breaking plays of more than 50 yards, but you're able to tighten up. And I think that tightening up we saw in the second half is what this kind of new look defense could be as the season wears on. And then I think with the offense, I think we started to see what this hyped up unit, this hyped up dynamic unit we all envisioned in the off season. We kind of started to see that come to life in Seattle. I think, you know, other than AJ, who, you know, with how great he's been to start his career, you're confident that he's going to turn it around. But with Tannehill playing the way he was, with Derrick still being great, with Julio being the Julio of old, I think we started to see flashes of this sort of dream offense the Titans had on paper and them really putting it together in week 2. So compared to my expectations heading into the season, what we saw in week 2, that's kind of what I expected this Titans team to be, have a really dynamic offense and have a defense that's showing growth despite some bumps on the road.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben, obviously, when Taylor Lewan went down in pregame warmups on Sunday, I kind of feared the worst. I was concerned as to what that could look like for his long-term future here this season. With that in mind, I guess, were you that concerned as well? And how surprised were you to see him as a full participant yesterday at Titans practice?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, right? I actually watched him kind of limp off the field in Seattle. You thought kind of the worst, right? And for him to be ruled out, I mean, obviously that was probably maybe more precautionary, but for that to happen, you know, he's just kind of getting back into the groove of things. First game, first real game back in that season opener, and for that to happen, you kind of think the worst, and then for him to be a full participant in Wednesday's practice, it kind of shows that it was just kind of a scare. There's no, obviously no structural damage or what have you. He's kind of ready to go. So that was a very encouraging sign. And then for this O-line to really deal with that blow in pregame, kind of out of the blue, and for Tyson Cimbrello to step up, and really for that entire offensive line to step up too, because Roger Saffold went down during the game as well, and Aaron Brewer had to step in at left guard too, for those guys to really to have the Titans playing, you know, up front the way that we've seen them capable of the last few years. I think it really speaks to that system they have and kind of the standard they've set in place, and kind of showed that first game, that opener wasn't really who they are. For whatever reason, it just didn't kind of show up in that opener, but that week two game, they have guys who can step in and kind of show their depth up front. So that was very kind of, if you're the Titans, very encouraging to see. And then having Ty step up, having Aaron step up, I think that's a really positive sign moving toward the Colts this week.
You got a lot of Titans fans in your mentions mad and like freaking out that Taylor Lewan might play? Because I know I sure as heck do.
In term for this weekend,
yeah. So I guess not. Then that's good for you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's amazing the Titans. Like I know it's like Twitter. You got to keep it in perspective.
Then we got to get Joe off Twitter.
Yeah, we got basically that's the issue. Is
yeah. But, I mean, I hadn't been getting messages like that, but yeah.
I'm gonna send you an anonymous email.
Yeah, from Greg 3278.
Yeah, there you go. Taylor Lewan needs to be cut. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you think about that, though, Ben? Like, just first of all, I know it's so hard. You come on a new beat, and as you well know, it's just so different now. We at least are getting these guys in person, but it's not even close to what it was. But what do you think of one, like Lewan's, you know, personality, and sort of, I guess, just the discussion around him? Because I've been a little bit. I mean, even the fact that he got booed like he did in the opener, I was a little bit taken aback by that. What's your takeaway just on all the discussion around him?
Yeah, it has been very interesting. I mean, from what I've come to understand in just my short time here so far, is just kind of what a colorful character he is, and I think he always wants to tell it as it is, and he obviously has a lot of pride And so when you saw that tweet he sent out post-game after that Arizona game, after just really getting exposed an entire game by Chandler Jones and a lot of people having a problem with that tweet, I think it just kind of goes back to him like kind of telling it as it is. And he obviously didn't get to speak to us immediately after the game, so that was kind of his way of kind of airing out what had happened. But yeah, it is. The rhetoric around Taylor is interesting. And I think as bad as he did, you know, I think with that Cardinals game, you do kind of have to remind yourself that it was his first game back from a torn ACL, and to have your first game back from a torn ACL and going up against one of the top edge rushers in the NFL, I mean, that's a really tough ask, and it is going to take him a few weeks to kind of get back to form. I mean, that doesn't excuse how to the extent at which he looked bad in some of those moments in that opener, but I think we do kind of have to keep that in mind. And guys coming back from ACL injuries, it's not always just kind of like a miraculous, just kind of a back to normal thing. It is going to take, it does take some guys to kind of get that feel back. And for a left tackle, where you have to be kind of so good on the edge, I think it does take time to sort of trust that knee a bit. And I think we did see that with Taylor a bit in that opener. And then obviously the whole rhetoric of about him, we should cut him. I think that was kind of, maybe an overreaction. And he's obviously one of the highest paid players on the team. And in terms of cap hit, that's something to look at it as well. But yeah, I really think it just comes down to Taylor getting his feet back under him and having kind of that setback in Seattle. I don't think it really helps, right? Because you want to kind of flush away that kind of bad taste from that opener after giving up two sacks, and then to kind of go out in warm-ups and kind of look like you kind of re-injure that torn ACL or kind of bang up that knee, and to not have that opportunity to kind of redeem yourself, you kind of maybe wonder mentally how he responds, assuming he's going to be good to go for this week, how he kind of responds mentally to start against the Colts. But I think it really just comes down to, regardless of all the rhetoric and whatnot, I think it just comes down to Taylor needing time to get back to what he was, because it has been 11 months since he's played, real football on it, during the regular season.
Absolutely. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Does a great job covering the Titans. Ben, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one.
Absolutely. Hey, you as well. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including getting to some of your thoughts, including a big controversy yesterday that the Titans have caused. We'll get to more of that coming up next as well. Right now, though, I've got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And the NFL, as we know, it's back. Week 2 is come and gone. Week 3 coming up. And that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Thursday night, a great opportunity to give it a try. And tonight we've got Carolina and Houston going down tonight in the Thursday night football matchup. All you got to do, bet a same game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. I like Carolina in this game. I think Sam Darnold's going to have a good night against this Houston defense. Obviously, Davis Mills getting the start at quarterback for Houston. So give me Carolina in this game. But you take it any way you want to take it. It's one of the many reasons I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook, and there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can also claim your 30-to-1 odds on either team to win in the Monday night game between Philadelphia and Dallas. Just sign up with promo code ROB, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same-game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Cameron Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game on Sunday, you win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Ben Arthur from the Tennessean for joining us in the last segment. Joe Rex Road, We've talked a lot about Twitter today here on the show and the response to Taylor Lewan, which we'll get back into here in just a few minutes. Did you see, though, the big controversy that the Tennessee Titans have caused on social media yesterday that's causing quite the storm? Are you aware of this?
Does this have to do with Dennis on our text line,
for example? It does have to do with Dennis on our text line.
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't seen a ton of this, but yeah, a little bit.
Oh, I saw a bunch of it yesterday.
Okay, catch me up.
Dennis texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to see angry people on Twitter, check out the Texans fans that are mad at Titans Twitter for using the Oilers branding for social media this week. It's hilarious. And if you've missed it, the Titans honoring the Houston Oilers this week on their social media accounts. I think that's the reason they're wearing the light blue jerseys coming up on Sunday against Indianapolis. And, you know, at some point, and Jim Wyatt was talking about this on Twitter yesterday too, like the Titans at some point want to wear a Houston Oilers throwback style jersey, which I am all for because I love those jerseys.
I think it'd be awesome.
I'm here for it. That has to be approved by the NFL. And I would imagine sometime in the next year or two, we'll probably see a throwback jersey for the Titans to the Oilers. But the Titans on Twitter have changed their profile picture to the Oilers logo, and it just says Tennessee Titans / Oilers. The bio on the Titans Twitter account says the official tribute account of the Houston Oilers. And man, does that have people in Houston so mad, because I guess they think since they're in Houston, they have the rights to all the Houston Oilers stuff. They should be the ones that wear the throwback jerseys because it's in Houston and all this stuff. And I guess part of me understands what they're saying, but it's this franchise. Like, the Oilers are the Titans. It's their franchise. So I don't really – this outrage in Houston. And look, I just kind of did a Twitter search of it yesterday. There are a lot of Texans fans that are pissed that the Titans are using this logo. And I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I saw – I guess it was – well, it's like a media – I don't even know if he was like a Texas guy, but I saw a little rant yesterday about it. That's all I saw. But, it's you know, it's one of those things, like, it does belong to the community. So I understand someone who grew up loving the Oilers and then the Oilers leave. You know, like, I feel for the fans in that situation. I mean, ultimately, in this league, we've seen a lot of owners move around from city to city, and I think it's – you know, like the St. Louis situation, you know, brutal. So I do have sympathy for that, but I mean, again, it is their business. It is their, like, they own that stuff still, so they can do that. And I will say this, the reason that, of course, they're doing this is Bum Phillips going to the Ring of Honor Sunday, and I will tell you that I've spent a lot of my week learning a lot about Bum Phillips, talking to Wade Phillips and a lot of other people, including Billy White Shoes Johnson, by the way, who's like one of my heroes as a kid. So I kind of fanboyed out a little bit on that one. But
more than Dan Fouts?
You know, it was around the same time. Like, watching Dan Fouts throw lasers all over the field. And I'm watching Billy White Shoes Johnson's return a punt, and like his end zone celebrations are still like unparalleled.
Legendary.
Yeah, man. But it's one of those things where, and I actually have this on for tomorrow to talk about, because, of course, I'm going to pimp the heck out of my story. But, you know, this is something that actually, I think, as a Titans fan, you should like, because I think it's a sign of a good organization that, like, honors past people.
Correct.
And history, things like that. Now, is anybody in Nashville up in arms about Bum Phillips going to the Ring of Honor? You know, I don't know. Now, if you're of a certain age, you got to have an appreciation for that guy.
Yeah.
One of the all-time characters in the game. But, you know, I'm sure back in Houston, those people feel like that. Well, Bum Phillips is our guy. You know, those Earl Campbell is that, the Houstonians. That's
sure.
He's ours, not yours, Nashville.
But the team left.
Well, I know. I mean, I get it. I get both sides of it.
Jacob from Murfreesboro texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we get the NFL's approval, I hope we wear the Oilers throwback jerseys against the Texans. Would be such a great jab at that poverty franchise.
Oh, the poverty franchise.
I think it would be awesome if the first time the Titans wore the throwback jerseys of the Oilers, it was against the Texans. It would be great. And I would almost go as far as to say, you know what? Just save it to when you're on the road and wear the road throwback jerseys of the Oilers in Houston. It would be amazing.
That would
troll them all over the place.
I was going to say, that'd be quite a troll. I'm always fascinated to try to find out how many people in Houston who grew up Oilers fans are Titans fans over Texans fans. It can't be many. I mean, the Texans, that's their team now.
Yeah.
That's the Houston team. But if you were super into the Oilers, and again, you're talking about some really good teams in the late 80s, especially early 90s with Warren Moon at quarterback, and you had Eddie George. You had Steve McNair. You had Bruce Matthews. So those were your guys, and then they move here. How many people couldn't help but continue to cheer for them?
I think probably a lot. Now, I think
but then over time,
what
I guess,
ended up happening probably for most of those people was the Titans sucked for like 9 years, and then all of a sudden Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub slinging the ball over the place in Houston probably became Texans fans at that point.
J.J. Watt, a guy the Titans could have drafted, by the way,
they
et cetera. So, yeah, they would probably transition. But are there still some holdouts?
Probably. I don't think it's a big number, but, yeah, I'd say there probably are. Jim on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tell Houston to take their complaints to Baltimore. Ironic that this is taking place when we are playing against the Colts. And Andrew's texting in, can you imagine the Ravens wearing Colts uniforms? No, I can't. Now, there is also another team now called the Colts.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. When that happens, well, they kept the branding, so that's a different totally thing. But then obviously you got the whole Baltimore-Cleveland thing with, I mean, that's the Browns.
Yeah.
And then the new Browns are really not the Browns. The actual Browns are the Ravens.
Yeah.
But then you got the new Browns. And, I mean, if you're a Browns fan, you just think of, like, all over the years and Bernie Kosar and Otto Graham, and now we have Baker. Well, actually, but it's a different franchise.
Yeah.
Does that matter to the fan? No, not really, I don't think.
I think there's a big Baltimore Colts contingent out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a legendary NFL franchise.
Oh,
that's
I know.
The thing, you know? You're talking Johnny U.
Yeah.
I mean, great, great teams. Yeah, that's like people in Baltimore. Are there people in Baltimore who were so excited about getting Peyton Manning, you know?
Carson Wentz.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's bled through. They're still big-time supporters of the old Baltimore Colts.
I feel for the Baltimorean, that's probably not a word, who is like cheering for Carson Wentz when like Lamar Jackson's right in your backyard.
Yeah, just running around all over the place.
But are there Browns fans who can't help but love the Ravens?
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, everybody, everyone can agree like Art Modell was the villain, but it's an unfortunate part of the NFL and pro sports and greed and whatnot.
Sometimes things move. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ricky from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Ricky, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. I own a sports store out in Mount Juliet, and one of the things that I cannot keep in stock is when I get the throwback Oiler helmets signed by current Titan players.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing, two quick things. I have a bunch of guys that come in on game day only, probably a group of 30 or 40 guys that travel from Texas that are season ticket holders here for the Titans. So that fan base has traveled with the team. And it's pretty cool to see that they never gave up on their original franchise. And they do come in for the weekends. They usually fly in on Saturday and fly right out after the games. And the third thing is, Joe, there was a former New York Ranger. His name was Rayo Ritsalainen. And somewhere in my mother's house, I have a T-shirt that says Sexy Rexy, and when I get it, I'm bringing it in.
Yes, come on.
Nice.
Thank you, Ricky. We appreciate it. That's good stuff. What a call.
Love it. That's really interesting on the so do you think there's people from St. Louis who are flying out to L.A. and cheering on Matt Stafford right now? I feel like that divorce was
nasty.
Bitter,
yeah.
and rightfully so. That was awful. The Cronkies. Whew. But – there's probably some, right?
Yeah.
They're just like, I love the Rams.
Yeah.
Like that. And of course, they've been, I mean, that franchise has been all over the place, but that's very interesting. Keeping loyalty to a business. I get loyalty to, again, like Eddie George, Steve McNair. You're excited about Steve McNair being drafted. You're watching him start to develop. Then he becomes great here. How could you not still be rooting for him?
Sure.
But then eventually the roster churns. You'd think a lot of people would fall off then.
Yeah.
So people from Texas still coming for these guys. That's interesting.
Flying in every weekend.
I mean, hey, fandom is, you know what? Fandom is random. Fandom is random.
Very well done.
Look at my sports teams.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, October the 17th? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Zach Brown Band. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September the 27th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lots of controversy. The Titans using the Houston Oilers logo on social media yesterday, and man, people of Houston are upset. Hibbs, our buddy, texting in, I love the history and all, but I'll never understand Nashvillians who are dying for them to wear Oilers unis. To me, we who are Nashvillians have no connection to the Oilers. Hell, there's no oil in Tennessee. That is a good point by Hibbs. I think to me, and maybe this is just the way I view it, I don't know if this is how most Titans fans would view it, but I like it more. Number one, I think the logo looks good. I think the uniforms look good, so that's my main point of why I want to see them wear it. But number two, the fact that it does make Houston so mad makes me more likely to find the Titans to wear it. I think it's awesome. I think we need a little bit more. Take
trolling,
a few more digs
more trolling
at Houston.
In
yeah.
sports.
More trolling.
If we can't do taunting, then we should do
we
more
will
trolling.
Troll.
There's a lot of response to this.
Yeah.
Including, thank you, Vincent from Dixon. Very excited about Billy White Shoes Johnson getting a kid. He said, loved him as a kid. I wanted to score a TD so bad so I could do his dance, but as a fat kid in our bunch, I never got the chance. I'm sorry, Vincent. But a lot of people on the, the Ravens were never the Colts. What about in St. Louis? Wouldn't you be actually like a Cardinals fan?
Yeah.
There's so many ways it can go. It's just, and certainly as someone made the point here, I mean, no one in Cleveland likes the Ravens. Of course
not. Yeah,
that
was not. Matt from Camden.
Of course
yeah.
not. No. But it's just, it's just interesting that in Cleveland, it's like, hey, it's just the Browns. It's the history of the Browns is what you talk about, but it's not the same franchise. Ozzie Newsome, the all-time great Brown from those great teams, built the Ravens,
Yeah.
Just very interesting.
It is very interesting.
Pro sports, baby.
I was amazed at how upset Houston fans are at this. Like, look, it's got to be a pretty terrible time to be a Texans fan with everything going on with Deshaun Watson. You know your team. Outside of, I thought, a pretty good performance against week one, and they hung in there against Cleveland for a little while in week two. But if you're a Texans fan, like, your team's going to suck this year, and they're not going to be very good. And depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson, they may not be very good for a long time. So we'll see what happens on that front. So it's got to be a tough time to be a Houston Texans fan, but I think I saw more reaction to this yesterday than I've seen from a while from Texans fans. They are upset about this, which, like, as far as Titans fans are concerned, like, where does Houston rank on the rivalry list? I mean, obviously it's a rival. Are they behind Jacksonville? Are they ahead of Jacksonville? I would say they're certainly behind Indy and Baltimore, for sure. I'd probably say they're behind Pittsburgh. Depends on how long you've been a Titans fan.
Well, I don't know. It's like, how do you judge it? I think they're somewhere in between the Colts and Jaguars in terms of, I think, fan base dislike, it's Jacksonville.
Yep.
I think team that you're pursuing and really want to beat, it's the Colts. And I think the Texans are somewhere in between. But things like this are nice for a rivalry.
Spice it up.
Because, look, I mean, that history is – look, I remember 2016, and the Titans played a good game in Houston, lost it on a punt return, and, Bobby April is fired, the next day by Mike Mularkey, his longtime, really close friend.
Yeah.
Which, Mularkey's like, well, there's a lot of things going on, and – I just decided it was time to move on. Of course, the immediate thing is they got embarrassed in Houston, and someone's got to pay. Now that's just outside speculation, but there's no question, right, that within this organization, the number one rivalry is the Texans, right? I'm talking about not in the locker room. I'm talking about
up top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could it not be?
Right.
But for fans, yeah, somewhere in between, I think.
I don't know. Like, I don't know that I've ever heard too many Titans fans be like, you know who I really hate? The Houston Texans. Maybe there are some. I don't know.
But it's like the cycles. As time goes on and you have the same division, I think that just builds – it builds dislike,
sure.
Really. You know, like
– like the Titans are number one on the rival list for the Texans, right? Like a lot of – and it's because of this. I mean, the Texans fans, they feel like their franchise got stolen from them. They're in Nashville. So Texans fan hates the Titans, most of them.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. But it's also – you mentioned, you know, Andre Johnson and those stretches where they were flat out better. I mean, they won the division a lot of years. Like that, that also that matters, right? Yep. Doesn't that help build something? I think it's just that the Colts, obviously, they've been the glory team of the division. So that's just a different level because of that. But over time, and there's nothing like it's like building a fan base. This is still a young fan base, so you look at it, it's like, well, why isn't this fan base like the Patriots or Steelers or whatever or Packers? Look at your team's division. That's just, I mean, you're talking generations of hatred,
yep.
You know, among those fan bases. So, which is great. I mean, it makes it fun. And that's still in construction in this division.
Gary from Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I used to be a huge St. Louis Rams fan, but when the ownership moved the team to L.A., I stopped following and supporting the team. I then became a Titans fan through and through. Tighten up. Prediction for Sunday, 38-21 for the Titans.
By the way, you know, Ben Arthur said tighten up three times on our interview.
He did.
That's actually – I like that term too. It's a term that I have tried – actually had to get out of my vocabulary.
You've got to tighten up on defense.
Right. It's a very common term.
Yeah.
So I've actually tried to remove it, but I'm
– Sometimes you'll do it, and I just look at you.
Right, and immediately – yeah. Immediately – we know that I just did. It's like the mute issue, but three times for Ben.
That's pretty good. It's a pretty solid run. Dennis texting in. I don't like the Oilers logo and uniforms, but it's ours now, and I'm all for ticking Texas off by wearing them.
God, how do you not love that uniform? I love.
I think it's pretty solid.
I love the blue. I love the helmet. I mean, it's just hilarious. You put a Derek on a helmet, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
But
now they got
works.
A different Derek running around here over here.
Ooh,
see there?
That's
pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Imagine Derek with
nice.
Derek.
Derek
good.
With the Derek
yeah.
Would be scary.
There was I think it was week one against Arizona. There's a nice crowd shot of somebody in like a Bruce Matthews Tennessee Oiler jersey. It's a pretty looking jersey. I love that stuff.
I love those. You know, and I actually, as a general NFL fan, because it's kind of come back again, talking to White Shoes this week and other people, I just feel like those Houston teams were so easy to root for. They couldn't get over the Steelers hump. The Steelers were like the steel curtain, some of the greatest teams ever. And if not for them, Michelle pumps her fist in the booth. If not for them, I mean, you know, like Bum Phillips, those teams probably would have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They had a really good team, but you just couldn't get past the Steelers.
We've gotten a couple of requests on my personal text line from my father and from Jared Stillman to play the Tennessee Oilers song. Have you ever heard this?
No.
We'll have to find it during the break. It's like Brooks and Dunn, Tennessee Oilers. It's
like,
amazing.
This is from like the year they played in Memphis?
Yeah. It may have been the Vanderbilt year. But yeah, there's like a Brooks and Dunn, Tennessee Oilers song. It's awesome.
I got to hear this.
Yeah.
Wait, you've already found it?
Oh, this is it, baby.
That sounds like Brooks and Dunn.
Just wait till it gets rolling. It's a little bit of a build up to it.
Slow build up.
Here we go. Oh, this is just like the instrumental version. I don't know if this one's got words to it. We'll find the actual words.
I'll find the real one.
Yeah, we'll find the real one.
Like, who would be like, ooh, we really need the instrumental version of that song?
it could be the
instrumental
look,
remix.
It could be a karaoke jam out there, man.
Wow. We're the Tennessee Oilers.
That's good stuff, nice. Man.
Is it as good as Onward Down the Field?
Eh.
The Probably Detroit not. Lions theme song.
Oh, yeah. Anything that we can do to match the Lions would be great.
I can't wait to hear this now.
You've never heard this? You never heard the old Tennessee Oilers song? I'm surprised during your time here that someone has not brought that to your attention.
Not that
I'm kind of surprised I've not brought that to your attention.
I don't think so. This is a new discovery. Are they going to play it Sunday?
See, that would be at you take the troll to the next level next time you play the Texans and you score a touchdown. Just roll out that Tennessee Oilers song, because I think that would make them mad trolling. More than anything. Like, they don't like the Titans, but using the phrase Tennessee Oilers really drives them over the top.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Speaking of that, real fast, do you like huge, you know, Johnny Cash fan? Everybody loves Johnny Cash. The song going into the fourth quarter.
Oh. I mean, I like the song.
I like
the song. They've been doing it since 1999.
It's not a get you pumped up for the fourth quarter song.
No.
Now, they've redone it. They've had other people now do, you know, celebrity artists. Just, I don't know.
Michelle, do we have this?
I think this is it.
All right, let's see. That is not it. Then we'll find it during the break. But look out, football.
But what the heck is that, though?
I don't know. That sounds great.
Look out, football. Here we come. Wow.
Apparently, there are a lot of football songs that I just don't know about.
There are so many. I just searched Oilers theme song. There are so many different versions of Come on, football. We come. And that other one, too.
So is that actually go back to Houston?
Yeah, probably so.
It's like Love You Blue era. Okay.
Wow. When we come back, it's time for the best and worst thing in sports. The song we just heard may qualify for either one. We'll see if that makes either one of our list. Take your thoughts as well and your best and worst thing in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst thing in sports. We'll take your submissions, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, your best and worst thing in sports. Joe Rexrod, as we do every week, would we like to begin this week with the best thing in sports, or should we switch it up and go worst thing?
I'll go best. Best then worst.
What is your best thing in sports for the week?
My best is, I'm glad I got to go first, because, I mean, I think I could see someone else picking this. Maybe it's too obvious. Maybe it's, I realize that I'm doing a lot of Titans lately. But my best thing is Derrick Henry.
It's pretty great.
You know, just, you got to step back a little bit. Whatever your perspective is on this, Titans fan, covering the Titans, general sports fan, you know, whatever, inside the organization, you got to step back every once in a while and be like, man, this is pretty cool to watch this in real time. You know, Mike Vrabel was asked, like John Glennon tried to get Vrabel yesterday on something about, well, what's it like on the sideline? And Vrabel didn't really indulge it.
He didn't really
like, we're good team. We're going to try to be, you know, you're trying to, you know, keep it focused on that. But I hope Vrabel also at times kind of steps back and says, damn, you know, because it's pretty cool. And I don't know where it's going to go, but right now where it is pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a pretty good best thing in sports. Michelle Knezovic, your best thing in sports for this week.
Well, really quick off Joe, did you notice, though, when Vrabel, he just like stood there and kind of just smiled, like when Glennon asked him the question, and he probably was just like, whoa.
Well, or he might have been smiling like, you know, I could give you an amazing answer here.
And then he didn't.
But
I'm not going to.
How about some coach speak instead?
My best in sports this week. So, obviously, Rachel Nichols, ESPN fired her, but essentially they're doing a new show called NBA Today instead of The Jump, but essentially it's The Jump.
I haven't seen this.
And Malika Andrews is going to be the new host. She's 26 years old.
Yeah.
And she's one of my favorite NBA reporters. And I just think that's amazing for her. 26 years old, she's hosting her own show on the network. And she's done a phenomenal job covering the entire league. And I just think it's awesome. Good for her.
She's freaking good.
She is really good.
Yeah.
I think Vince Carter, Shanae, and a couple other people are on the show, so should be kind of cool.
Interesting. Very nicely done.
Bring that hoops in.
We love basketball.
Bring a little hoops in here. That's right. I mean, my best thing in sports is pretty, I think, commonplace this week, but I cannot watch a football game the same way anymore after the Manning broadcast. Like, I love the Manning broadcast. Like, I was watching the game the other day, And like I told you, I went back and watched some of the Tennessee snaps just to like go back and watch some of the quarterback looks. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, huh, is Tennessee Tech in too high? What's going on? Are they got a single high safety? What's going on here? Like Peyton and Eli are teaching me things about football watching this, and it's awesome. So the best thing in sports, the Manning broadcast. Like not it's not great all the time. Like they're working through some things and it's gonna get better as they keep going here. But I hope they don't change it up too much and get too formal, because I think part of the appeal of it is it's just two guys sitting back literally in their homes with their feet propped up watching football, talking football. And sometimes I think we overcomplicate this a little bit. Sports are supposed to be fun, and it's fun watching a broadcast with those two on it.
I like it. It's very good.
I would even go as far as to say I kind of hope moving forward they cut back on the guests a little bit. Like I like the guests. They had a lot of guests on the other night. Like McAfee was great.
Is it four? They're trying to do four?
Yeah.
Like one a quarter, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'd be kind of okay with just bring two. Just bring two on there and let Peyton and Eli roll.
Just have Gronk on there a lot. He's funny.
Yeah, Gronk was good.
God, I don't know, man.
I probably could have done without Brett Favre. And I like me some Brett Favre, obviously, because he's a Packers quarterback, but he did not bring much to the table the other day on that broadcast.
Thumbs down.
Joe, did you hear Gronk's comment about how they were trying to trade him to the Lions, and he was like, "Oh, I retired. I retired."
I didn't watch it the other night. I was traveling, but yeah, no, that's funny though. That's why he retired. There you go.
Yeah,
magically and he doesn't watch film.
Yeah, good stuff from Gronk the other night.
It is awesome. It's very good. It's better than when I first heard about. I was like, yeah, it sounds interesting, but yeah,
it's pretty great.
It's working.
Joe Rexrode, your worst thing in sports for this week is what?
Well. It's come up again very recently, like yesterday. There's some more news on this, but just the saga here that I'm projecting, like the agony of the arguing and just the back and forth over the 12-team format, the college football playoff. Like it's already, I think we all know the score. There's hurt feelings. There's this alliance now, and now it might be 2026 or it could be 2024. And maybe TV, you know, I understand the concerns of, like, the alliance and everything. But it's really, it's gotten
Sounds
old.
Sounds like a Star Wars episode.
It's very petty. Yeah, exactly. The rebels are, you know, holed up on Alderaan.
Not a good place to be. Spoiler alert.
That's right. Yeah, like, we don't want to give that away for people who haven't seen the movie. And we know a few.
I haven't.
No Star Wars for you?
Good gracious.
I'm not really a Star Wars fan. Nope.
Basically, just you and Ryan Porth just need to have
a lot of
like,
movies to watch.
Yeah, just a big movie marathon. But anyway, it's enough. 12 is the right thing. The reason that, you know, now they're talking about 8. And the reason 12 worked is because you can make everyone happy. The SEC and Notre Dame are happy enough. Everybody else gets opportunity. The Group of Five gets opportunity. It will work. The only problem with it is the stupid idea of neutral sites instead of home sites. That'll get fixed, I'm sure. Otherwise, that's like a year's worth of rants. But it's just enough already. Like, we get it. You got screwed by Greg Sankey. You're mad. It's fine. But at some point now, let's start moving forward and doing what's best for everyone.
Very well done. Michelle Knezevic, your worst thing in sports for this week.
Worst thing in sports, all these QBs getting hurt. We've got Wentz, Andy Dalton, Tua, Tyrod Taylor, Ben Roethlisberger. I think that's it.
Yeah, Baker got hurt on Sunday, too. Now, he's okay, but a lot of injuries on Sunday.
You know what it makes me think of? The Blind Side and Sandra Bullock when she's like, this is your QB. It is your job to protect his blind side. Yes. Like, what is happening? Yeah, so that's my worst in sports. All the QBs getting injured.
Yeah.
Not what you want to see if you're the NFL.
Definitely not.
Yeah, with Tua, it's too bad. It's Tua bad. But
he is not going to play on Sunday, by the way.
Jacoby Brissett just stepping up again.
Yep. Ribs.
I found out where Jacoby Brissett plays now.
No, me too. I honestly didn't know.
My worst thing in sports, and I knew this would happen, but now that I've seen it happen, it's just annoying. Like people just totally dumping all over Trevor Lawrence after two games. He's not been good. If you watch Trevor Lawrence play, been a lot of interceptions. He's not played overly well. We're two games in. I mean, they were talking this morning with Max Kellerman and Keyshawn Johnson and J-Will about how, like, Trevor Lawrence is never going to be better than Kyler Murray. And I was like, well, maybe he will or maybe he won't. But we're two games into his career. How do you know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be? It's just amazing the total pot shots that people take two games into a quarterback's career. It's just the NFL is something else, man.
Yeah, that's a good one. That'd be the overreaction. And it's not just like fan media. I feel like the overreaction within organizations is – or just the reaction time is so fast on this quarterback's going to work out and this isn't. I mean, none of the rookie quarterbacks have looked good, have they? Like, who's been the best rookie quarterback? I mean,
Mac Jones has been
all
right.
Mac Jones has been fine.
But it's not like he's just throwing the ball down the field.
He sucked a lot less than Zach Wilson in the meeting of rookies, so he won.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's about it. And Justin Fields really didn't look that great. He's going to start this week because Dalton's hurt. But, yeah, it's – again, this didn't even used to be a thing. It was a rarity when you'd start – you started as a rookie because the starter got hurt or you were – coming into an 0-16 team and like, you know, but now it's like, hey, show us what you got. And by October, we'll know if you're going to be a bust or not.
It's amazing. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texting in. Best is the Raiders leading the AFC. It's good for the league to have those crazy fans on top. Worst is Trevor throwing so many picks. If he catches Peyton's record this year, he will probably terrorize the Titans for decades. So Heidi taking the opposite approach, not wanting Trevor Lawrence to break the interception record because that means that he will then terrorize the Titans like Peyton Manning did.
He's the next Peyton. I see where you're coming from, Heidi.
Yeah. Josh texting in a cool thing I saw on Facebook, too, of a high school football player helping another player stretch out. So, like, I guess this player in high school football, I think it was in Iowa, got hurt and was trying to, like, stretch out the cramps, and this dude on the other team stopped in, like, mid-play and helped him kind of stretch out and get off the field. So good sportsmanship. We're all about good sportsmanship.
That was
here.
Great. I love that.
Sportsmanship is good. Taunting's also good, but, you know. Or taunting's bad.
Maybe so. Tom from Clarksville texting in. Ryan and Michelle need a robot chicken-style intervention where they are strapped to a chair and forced to watch movies all day.
Whoa. Yeah,
maybe. You just need to sit down for 72 consecutive hours and watch movies.
A Clockwork Orange. Anyone get that reference?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Neither.
Google A Clockwork Orange. Great book and movie. Stanley Kubrick. Man, come on.
When was it? 1982?
Oh, no. It's actually much earlier.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But The Godfather came out before I was born. I've seen it 78 times.
Look, I mean, Star Wars came out before I was born.
There
I've
you go.
Seen all of them.
See?
I just can't do the whole Clockwork Star Wars Orange. Thing.
Well, how do you know? You've never seen it.
Well, it's just all that. I don't know. It's just not my thing. None of the Marvels or Star Wars or any of that. Reality TV is my kick.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
like
boy.
What? Give me your top five reality shows.
This is the
worst thing in sports immediately.
Okay, I know Ryan Porth likes this show, Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
Love that. The drama is just great. Boy. The Housewives. I just sit there and laugh.
I got subjected to that last night.
Which one?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
Robbie secretly loves it.
That was a very quick walk in the living room. Hey, honey, what you doing? Oh, that's what you're doing. We'll see you later. All right.
It's like that Simpsons gif where they walk in, put the hat on, and walk right back out.
Walk right on back out. That's what happened yesterday.
So what? All right, come up with the rest of your on the other side of your top five.
By the way, we have found the Tennessee Oilers song, so we'll have that for you at 9:15. Looking forward to that. It's a hit.
We're going to get
Joe Rexroth's reaction
to it. It's very good.
When we come back, we'll look ahead at Tennessee's. I guess they are technically Tennessee. The Titans matchup against Indianapolis coming up on Sunday. We'll be joined by Chris Hagan from CBS4 in Indianapolis. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.